It's lights out and away we go. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my very speedy friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table and truly humbled, if I'm being honest. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Downforce, designed by Wolfgang Kramer. Art done by Tavis Coburn, Michael Crampton, and Jason Taylor, and published by Restoration Games.
Vroom, vroom.
Downforce is a 2-6 player racing and bidding game. Players will seek top speed and use their impeccable driving skills to cross the finish line. At the end of the race, the players will add up the money they won from their race cars in the betting lines, and the player with the most money will become the next Elon Musk and own the racing world.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Jared.
Yes, Ian.
Since this is a betting and racing game, but what is the best bet that you've ever made?
The year was 2006.
Whoa.
The month was January.
Wow, he even knows the month.
Texas versus USC in the national championship.
Wow.
Sometimes, Ian, in life, you are given an inside view of what is to come.
Okay.
And I knew with my entire soul that Vince Young was going to carry the Longhorns victory.
Young.
And so, in my high school days, I bet multiple hundreds of dollars on Vince Young.
Wow.
And came out on top.
Wow.
Yep. It was a good week.
Yeah. You made probably bank.
I did. I made lots of money. I was very happy. It was one of the most intense games that I've ever been a part of to watch.
Yeah.
As it went back and forth. But
I vaguely remember that game. I don't think I watched most of it, but then I know the Titans drafted Vince Young. So then I watched the game back.
I watched that game end to end. It was an incredible game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do remember that.
And one of the most incredible one-man performances in football that I can think of in recent memory.
That was it. That was the one.
So
that made him Vince Young.
Yes. So like as far as actual bets, I think that's the one I'm most proud of.
Yeah. I have not made a bet. I'm not really a bettor, so
I could. I mean, I know I was saying before the podcast that that's nuts to me. I'd props off to you, man. For that kind of self-control, good job. I'm just so happy.
Have I wanted to burn one of my friends? Yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
But
you're better than that. You're above that.
I don't know if that's true, but I just have not bet.
All right. Well, the good thing is, Ian, this is a racing game too.
That's right.
So how fast, what is the fastest you've ever driven in your car?
It was over 100 miles an hour for sure. I'm not a speeder. My wife would say otherwise, but,
let's tell the truth.
Yeah, that's what we do on this podcast.
You literally said this happened the other day.
No, I know.
To me when we were talking about it.
So in general, let me preface this, is that in general, I go between 5 and 10 over, but I don't do 10 over unless it's like a back road late or I know there's like, it's fine.
Sure.
But on the highway, even any of that, I really do 5, maybe 10. Not more.
One might say you hedge your bets.
Yeah.
About where to speed.
That's right. On my own street where no cops are, I usually do speed. Nobody come after me though. Now, I will say this happened last week. Yeah, this was the fastest that I've ever driven. And I was on call. And so I was driving into work for an emergency. And I think I don't know the exact speed, but I know it was over 100. I think it was 105.
Could have been 115.
No, it wasn't more than 110. It was not more than 110. The wheels would have might have actually fallen off the vehicle.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was after church and all.
All right, so this question did not come to mind earlier when we were talking about it, but yep. I will ask you this. So if you get pulled over,
yeah,
can you like flex the, sir, it's an emergency?
I mean, so I'm supposed, on my old car, I did have emergency tags. And okay. For my new vehicle, or for this vehicle, I am going to, when I renew, I'm going to get the emergency tags back.
So it's usually, like a thing that goes on your plate?
Yeah, okay. it's a different colored plate.
Gotcha.
Here in Tennessee. And so.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so it's a different colored plate. And so you are not legally allowed to break the law with that plate legally.
Sure.
But cops, usually when they see that, it's usually permissible. But I have had, what's funny is I've had somebody from work did get pulled over, and they're like, and it's emergency. They're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be there within like 30 minutes or whatever. And so they get pulled over, the cop, and they didn't have emergency plates at the time. And he's like waving his badge out, like waving his badge out the window.
While
and I'm
driving.
Like, bro, you're going to get shot. Like you can't do that. And he's like waving his badge out and waving it around. He's like, I'm going to the hospital.
That's hilarious.
And so, no, if I got pulled over, I would try to quickly say, hey, like I need to get to the hospital.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, everybody was speeding that day, though. So I was only going like 10 over everybody else. So
I mean, it's totally fine if everybody does it. So
Exactly.
Cool.
But anyway, yeah. So high stakes. I had the high stakes. I risked it all. But for somebody else, not for myself. And
very honorable of you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, well, let's get into this this game. How do we drive on this track?
I don't know how to drive.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Downforce is a bidding game centered around Formula One racing. The goal of this game is to have the most money at the end of the game. Weird, right? Because I thought it was a racing game, but right. It's really about making money.
Nah, it's always about the money.
Always. Players are dealt cards, and there is a board with a racetrack in the middle. That's the general idea with the components. Players will first bid for control of the various cars. There are 6 colored cars on the track. There is black, blue, green, orange, red, and yellow. The cards the players will use to play the game have a various amount of colors that will match some or all of the corresponding colors of the cars. Additionally, each color on a card has a value ranging from 1 to 6. During the bid, a car and a unique ability are revealed. Then, each player simultaneously picks one card from the cards they have been given. They turn that card over. Whoever has the highest number of that color wins the bid. They gain the special speed card for that color and the ability card. The value on the card they revealed also determines how many millions of dollars they just paid to buy that car. This style of bidding continues until all cars have been claimed. Each player will end up with at least one car. After the bidding is complete, the players who control more than one car decide which ability they are going to keep and discard the others. The cards revealed to bid on the vehicles are not lost. They go back into your hand after each bidding round. After the bidding is over, then play begins. On each of your turns, you will choose one of your cards to play. Remember, these cards will have a variety of colors on them. Some will have just one color, but most of them will have many. You might be moving your car, but you're also probably going to be moving somebody else's. Each car must be moved in priority order to the full extent that it is capable of doing so, from top to bottom on the card. Throughout the track, there are various choke points where one car can block another from moving. Or there might be situations where two cars are side by side, also causing the cars behind them to be unable to move any further. Play continues as players take turns playing one card at a time, moving cars around the track. The game continues until all cards have been played or all cars cross the finish line. As cars cross the finish line, they earn a certain amount of money depending on where they place. Additionally, during the race, there are 3 bid lines. Once each of these bid lines have been crossed for the first time, players stop and place a bet on which car they think will win. If their bets are correct, they gain an additional payout. Once the game is over, players tally up what they have earned, subtract what they paid at the beginning during the auction, and that provides them with the final amount of money that they have made throughout the game. Again, the player with the most money wins.
Well, this game is designed by Wolfgang Kramer. What a name.
Kramer.
And
it is a great name, though.
It is. Wolfgang was born in 1942 in Germany and is considered one of the innovators for like modern games and what the board gaming industry has become.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with mechanics such as like area control and a couple of the other games that he's played, action point systems. And then most notably, people kind of consider him as the designer of the victory point track that goes around a board. Ticket to Ride or like anything that the victory point track goes around the board. He is considered the innovator of that that mechanic, or I mean, it's not really a mechanic, but it's part of a game. But he is known for that. There was I think it's like a Heimlich and Co. Anyway, looking him up, that was something that's very interesting, and that's used in a lot of games now. But yeah, he was supposed to. He's the innovator of that. He also won the Spiel des Jahres 5 times with his games.
That's wild.
Yeah, which is incredibly hard to do. The Spiel des Jahres is really it's a German gaming award, but it's well known all across the world. If you won that, that game is very good amongst all of the world, not just Germany.
It also like basically guarantees that the copy sales are going to go through the roof because of it.
Yeah, you get the little logo placed on your game, and that automatically makes people really interested because, one, they don't hand that out to anything. It's usually a good game. It's usually a good game. So 5 times is incredible. This guy, man, it's awesome. But anyway, this game was originally in 1980, this game was called Formula One, and then it has changed names multiple times. It became Daytona 500 in 1990, which was made by Milton Bradley. And then it changed, to the more notable name called Top Race, in 1996, but that one was mostly sold in Europe. Didn't really make its way over here to the United States.
Right.
But Milton Bradley did have Daytona 500, and that was just a circular board. Just like Daytona 500, where the other ones had actual, like, it had zigzags and turns and stuff, like Formula One. But then Restoration Games came in and picked this up in 2017. And so they made this game and kind of revamped it. The difference between this and the other versions are really the power cards, the abilities.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the speed cards, the 8 cards. But.
And just to note, too, as long as we're talking about designers, Rob Davio did come in and help revamp this one as well.
Yeah. And I know Justin Jacobson, which is the owner. I think he's the owner of Restoration, I believe. I think he's one of the main people there.
That is correct.
Yeah. I love Restoration games. They don't make many games, but I love the games they do. They have a game called Stop Thief, which I also love. Incredible game. Fireball Island, which is just a gigantic toy. but their whole thing is restoring a game that has been out of print and kind of making it new and making it better in a way and bringing it to the public first, people that maybe played it 20 years ago. And they're like, man, I really loved that game back then. And now I get to play it again, just in a new revamped theme or whatever. And so I really like the work they do. I think their games fit in the gaming world. It has a place because people do like nostalgia, and it helps to have games that are really well designed, and they come back and make them even better. So super cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, it really helps when they take a game that was probably close, but still had some of the, like, I don't know, Parker Brothers, Milton Bradley kind of vibe of like, we're going to make this just close and not all the way.
yeah.
And so for you to take it and like make it really good is a great model.
Yeah.
Most people will recognize, like, if you go to a Barnes & Noble or a Books A Million or whatever bookstore that you have, you're going to see a game called Unmatched. That's also by Restoration Games. They have a lot of that going on. Downforce is pretty popular, so you might see that as well. So they have several games that are sitting on these big box shelves.
They do target big box stores and families, and that is their main target audience.
Sure, for sure.
I've I know I watched an interview with Jacobson, and he said, like, that's who they want to reach. They want to reach people that you can go to Target and go to Walmart or wherever, big box stores and your family stores, and pick it up with your groceries. You know, that's kind of their thing. But on top of this, so this game is Formula One. As a random question, do you know the original Formula One, which would have been in 1946, the first ever Grand Prix Formula One? Do you know how fast those cars went? Do you have any clue? I was surprised, honestly, of how fast these vehicles are, but give me a guess.
I wouldn't even begin to know. I'm going to say over 200 miles an hour.
Okay, you're correct.
Okay.
You're correct. Faster than I've ever driven.
Yes, that's well, those cars can handle it.
That's right. So the Maserati 250F went about 280 miles an hour.
Wow, almost 300.
In 1946.
Yeah.
So this was like literally like a rice rocket that only weighed 1,000 pounds. It was the most dangerous vehicle because it had no downforce, which kept the vehicle on the road. So it's like a flying rocket.
You're literally driving a missile. Yeah.
Because it weighed like nothing. The aerodynamics was terrible. And so you would like cut a corner and the thing would just roll. Like, and the things look awesome.
Sure.
I really like the looks of them, but they were so many wrecks in these races because they were so fast, but then had no agility whatsoever.
That's just wild to me because you're playing on these tracks where you're curving all over the place.
I know.
So who thought this was a good idea? I don't know, man.
Men.
I mean, I appreciate, to be honest, okay, so I'm not a huge racing fan.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate Formula One way more than I do NASCAR, where you have an actual track instead of left turns for 3 hours.
Yeah. The name of this game is Downforce, which is the force of air pushing that car vehicle down. And it's really cool, the science that they make each vehicle, because they have to balance it, because if it has like too much downforce, the vehicle slows down on like a straightaways.
Right.
But they use that downforce in Formula One for the turns.
For all the turns.
And so to keep that vehicle pressed against the road, it's really interesting. It is fascinating. I'm not really into racing, but that science of it is just fascinating to me, because you have to have the perfect balance of having speed, but also the aerodynamics to keep the car in line when you're making really sharp turns, which those are sharp, sharp turns.
Absolutely.
At high speed.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So anyway, Downforce, the board game.
Downforce.
Do you, what do you think? What do you think?
Well, okay. So I'll start as we kind of transition into what we liked with saying, so when you suggested that we play this game, I had not played it before. And I will say I was a little bit surprised when I realized what the point of the game was. Because when you said Downforce, I'm like, oh, it's like actually a racing game, which it is, but you're not racing your car, technically.
Right.
You're really racing all the cars.
Yeah,
in hopes of making money.
Kind of weird to explain.
Yeah.
I think we did our best at the beginning of this episode.
Ooh.
Because during the game, you purchase at the very beginning, you auction off the vehicles.
Right.
And so you spend, you know, some cards from your hand to that end up being millions of dollars or, you know, to purchase these cars, but you're not the only one moving the car.
Yes.
Other players are moving this car, and all the cars are being moved by all the players throughout the race. And so it's like you own the car as far as for money purposes at the end.
Right.
But everybody is moving the vehicle.
You're not really, you are controlling the car, but you're not the only one controlling
exactly.
The car. So anyways, so the whole point of that whole thing we just did was it took me a little bit to get my head around, I need to think about this differently.
Yeah.
I can't just think about the blue car.
Right.
I have to think about all six of them.
Yeah.
Which I will say right off the top, the thing that I like most about this game, I love games that make me feel like I'm actually in whatever the theme is of that game.
Yeah.
And we got, in every game that we played of this, we would get about 2/3 of the way through the game, and I would start to feel the intensity of watching a race I have money on the line, and I am not in control of what's going to happen.
You have bet millions of dollars on the line.
And I don't have control over it.
And you have no control.
And I'm just praying that Vince Young is going to throw another touchdown.
That's right. Yeah, so you're moving all the race cars. Everybody's moving all the cars on average. So on your turn, you play a card from your hand. It could have up to all six colors on that card.
Yep.
And it ranges from the movement as far as from 6 to 1. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a wild on it and you can move any car, or, you know, there's only 3 colors on it and, you know, it's 6, 4, 2. And so, each color, it tells you how many that card needs to move. And there is an even distribution in the deck. And so every car has the same exact as many 6s as they do 2s. And there's the same amount of wilds with, you know, another color on any even distribution. And so when you get your hand, you shuffle all these cards together and you're given this at the beginning of the game. And so when you go to bet for vehicles, you're limited to what you have, usually ranging between 7 to 12 cards based on how many players you have. The lower player counts, you get a little bit more cards into your hand. But again, you play one card per turn. And when you play this card, you read it top down. You always start it for the top down. You move that car first. So if it has a 6 green, you move green 6,
right,
and so on. There are rectangles on the board where the cars fit, and you're moving always forward along this track. And the trick is that you can be blocked. There are choke points where mm-hmm. there's only one space during this period, and only one car can be there. And you cannot move through cars. You can't move horizontally. You always have to be moving forward. And so what ends up happening is that you get stuck behind somebody and you can't go around them. And so you end up wasting these extra movement points. If you had 6 and you can only move 3, you move up the 3 and then you're stuck.
Right.
And so you waste these movements. So the fascinating part of this is maneuvering and playing the cards at the correct timing. And also you have to move the other player's cars. Even though you don't own them, you have to move them because you can't progress through this track without moving their cars out of the way. And so as the game goes on, everybody's kind of moving these cars. There's a lot of positioning battles, strategic decisions on when to play each card, what to play this. And this is a very overall a pretty light game.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to like metagame it. But there are definitely decisions to be had each and every turn. And there's also each player is always given the 8 speed card of their color.
So learning when to use that is really important.
And it's a one-time play.
And I think that there's more than one time that could be a really useful play.
There is.
It's learning. You got to feel the race.
You do.
So, yeah. So it's like that weird give and take, right? Of you're controlling your car, but you're paying attention to the whole board.
Yeah.
And wanting to make sure that the right cars cross at the right time. And you can't overthink it, Ian.
No.
Because you might think that you have a car all locked up and then all of a sudden it's in fourth
somebody
place.
Somebody snatches
and you're like,
it in front of you.
What's happening?
Yep.
So,
you cannot. I think in general, this game is, again, pretty light, but there are decisions that you have to choose when to pick, play the right, especially that 8. That 8 speed card is incredibly powerful, but it doesn't help when 2 people have already crossed the finish line and you've already lost. So using that speed card and your high value cards that you end up being dealt. And again, it's a deck, so you get dealt, and you just have to work with what you have.
So to me, it is a card game, so you're limited to what you're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a luck factor. But because you're not having to solely focus in on your car,
mm-hmm.
you can navigate the playing field and use those cards to your advantage, even if mm-hmm. they don't look advantageous for your color.
Right.
And so learning how to do that, there's also like a bit of a bluffing mechanic.
For sure.
Where you feel like you're trying to manipulate the other people around you into thinking you're doing one thing when really you're doing this other thing. That's a really cool mechanic too. I really appreciated that aspect of it.
Yeah. So in most games, you cannot win the game without other people moving your car.
Sure. There's just too many spaces.
Which is the in the reverse of that for other people. And so other players have to move your car for you. You don't have enough cards in your hand to move, I don't know how many spaces is it. It's a lot. It's a lot of spaces. You know, you're moving about, I probably half to more in a higher player count game, of the entire board.
Right.
You're moving about half. You need half of the rest of the board for other players to move you. And so, yes, it is the timing of when to use a card that has, you know, the other racers on it and use it. And so they don't get the full movement. But then you get the best movement out of that card. You know, oh, I have like a bunch of fours for my color. And they're, you know, there's a six and a five above those numbers. Okay, well, how do I play this card to hurt the other players and then help myself? And so, yes, you have to move the other players in a way. And sometimes they, you know, they get their full six movement or whatever. Like you do have to help other people. You got to move them out of the way. Moving players out of the way, out of those choke points, you have to do, which is an incredibly fascinating part of this game, is the choke points, where it's just single car. It's single file. And cars get bottled up there.
Yep.
And it's so interesting, especially in one of the maps. There's a ton of single spaces in a row. And you could get like four cars in each of those spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm in the back. So how do I get my car through? So you have to like move. Oh, man, it's crazy. Yeah.
Alternatively, though, it also offers a catch up mechanic.
It does.
When you start getting those cars locked up like
exactly.
that, the ones in the back have a chance to get caught up.
It does.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you see that more often in the one of the boards. The base game boards, and we'll get to expansions and player counts and all that. But high player counts on one of the original boards, you see that catch up because one player zooms ahead, they get in that choke point, and then everybody else falls in the choke point behind them, and then everybody else catches up.
Right.
And so that leader, you know, stays in the lead, but for some reason, there's always like a big lead change in some of those choke points because sometimes you just don't have that card to get you to the next choke point because a lot of what I love about the tracks is, you know, there's choke points kind of spread out throughout the board and you can't just like go play a card to get from one choke point to the next. There's a space in between.
Right.
And if you leave that gap for another player, they zoom ahead. And so it does feel like it really does. For to me, it feels like racing because there is strategic points to where you need to, you know, take that inside leverage or zoom up to that next choke point.
Yeah, I mean, again, it very much feels like you're watching a race.
Yeah.
I mean, you're influencing it, but you're watching it more than you are playing a particular car, like we've said multiple times. But yeah, no, I think it's a really fascinating way that all those mechanics kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and applaud the art on this game.
Mm-hmm.
The art, super simplistic,
yeah,
but it gets the job done. I always forget how much I appreciate this, but when you have a simple card and you can turn it both ways and it works the same.
It's so good.
It's great.
Yep.
It makes the table experience so much better.
Yep.
So hats off for that. Hats off for making it super easy to see the board and seeing how everything looks. The bid lines are super easy to see.
Yep.
The way, like the ability, like I without... There was a couple times where we got close towards the end and you kind of knew what I was doing, that I would put my finger on the board and count spaces.
Mm-hmm. Easily countable. They're not like, the lines are very well defined.
Most of the game, without letting other players know what I was doing, I could just sit there and count the spaces and see them.
Yeah.
So it's very easily seen. The board's nice and big.
Yep.
The cars are cool. They're little plastic pieces and
they look like Formula One cars.
They do
modern, not the ones from 1940.
They slide around on the board really easily, so that's cool. I just wanted to go ahead and applaud that because I think they did an excellent job with that.
They really did. No, they really did. The simplicity. There's a fine balance between being very artistic and making it look really pretty, but also being usable.
Yep.
Perfectly balanced in this, in my mind. It is a kind of cartoony, light, fun, energetic colors and art, but incredibly useful and easy to see and read and understand. And
absolutely.
It's very well done on the art for sure.
Do you have anything else on things that you liked?
The betting lines, which we talked about.
Yep.
It's just a fascinating aspect. It's like, oh, sure. Like you could just race, but the betting lines. So when you bet, so there's three lines, early, mid, and late. When you bid early or bet early, you get the most payout if you were right.
Yep.
But you get a lot less if you were wrong.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to know. And so it's just really well done as far as the betting lines, the helping other players. It's just crazy to me. Again, you can't win this game without moving other people and other people moving you. And that There's going to be people that hate that because that's you basically the ball's no longer in your court or the racetrack.
I did everything
racer,
I could yeah, to, racer, try to avoid yeah. that.
That's so fascinating to me. And I really enjoy that part of this game. And it's because it's light, it's quick,
yeah.
30 minutes. It just those aspects all together make it for a light, fun, quick game that I will usually run multiple times with the same group.
Sure.
And sometimes your car doesn't even have to win the race for you to win. Very easily, you don't have to be the person that comes in first. I have seen, it doesn't happen all the time, but there are times that I have won or other people have won when their car didn't come in first because you bet correctly, you get yeah. the right winner, and then your car comes in second or, you know, third.
Mm-hmm.
Usually second or third is, you know, beyond that, you're not getting enough money. But even if you don't come in first, you can still have a chance to win based off if you bet correctly. And
yeah, and going back to the betting for a second, one of the things I experienced in the games that we ran of this was that it really, if you overthink your bet, it can disrupt the rest of your race.
You're screwed.
Because you start trying to do too much,
yeah.
and then you can't manage it anymore, and you almost spin yourself out.
So I will say you do have to hit the bet, because that's just that's the money.
Yeah,
the betting. Now, if your car wins first, that's great, but you have to have bet on yourself, which you can do, or you have had to bet on somebody that came in top three, or you're not getting enough money to even have a shot. So it's a fine balance because you have to race well. At least somewhat well,
mm-hmm.
and also have predicted who the winner is or top three, and so when we say racing and betting, this game is both.
Oh, absolutely,
it's not just one. You have to do both at least somewhat decently to have a chance. So
for sure,
do you as far as dislikes? What do you not like about this game?
Things I don't like. So we have the box in front of us here. This box does itself a disservice by saying that it needs to be age 14 plus.
Oh yeah.
That I don't know who came up with that number. That number's wrong. We haven't tried it with Faith yet, who's 7.
There's a lot of games that
I really think she can handle it.
Well, yeah, I'd put a lot of games like 14 plus. There's a way other games that you could put in that category and not this one.
That are not even marked 14
yeah,
plus.
They're marked 8 up.
Yes. So I don't know who came up with that thing, but I put it in the things that I don't like because I do feel like that misrepresents what the game is, and it could come across as a heavier thing than it actually is. Nitpick aside.
Sure.
I don't have a lot to dislike about this game. I think that it does what it wants to do very well. It doesn't overstay its welcome, which is great because I think that if it was much longer, it would feel very samey as we kind of
there are better racing games for a long haul that you
this
can
needs
play.
To go quick so I don't have a lot of complaints. I think it does have the potential for people to feel like they got screwed and never had a real chance to play the game if they're dealt a bad hand.
Mm-hmm.
When you have games like this where people are moving everybody's pieces, it's easy for one person to feel like they got picked on.
For sure.
So I think there's things like that can happen that can be negatives. I think the getting picked on thing is more of a realistic thing. I think the bad card draw, like I said, there's other ways to play at that point, and it's learning how to play the table instead of playing the game. So I don't know. I don't have a lot to complain about with this game. I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Well, good.
And I just don't have a lot of complaints.
I've had a lot of gameplay of this. I played this with my family and my wife's family and friends. And I've played with every type of player count. And I'll get to that in a second. But as far as things that do end up showing up that I don't particularly love, yes, people can fall behind. And if you fall behind and people aren't moving you, and sometimes you just get a couple rounds where you're not being moved.
Right.
And so you end up getting behind. And so it's hard to catch up because what ends up happening, the race gets front loaded.
Mm-hmm.
The top racers, people are trying to either not move them or the bottlenecks start to hit up at the front and people in the back kind of get left behind because they're not getting moved out of the way because they're not in the way to be moved. So it can happen where players, yes, kind of fall and get picked on in a way is they're just not getting moved as frequently. The thing, though, the argument against that is that the cards are evenly distributed, so eventually it comes around. It just might be too late at that point. And so that's kind of the issue there. And what I have found, and again, this is just me, I don't care, but what ends up happening is that people don't want somebody to win, like myself. And so they're like, oh, we're not going to move Ian, which is fine. If that's the game you want to play, it's totally fine. So I ended up betting, this happened in a recent game, I bet on myself and I came in third.
Well,
because nobody would move me at all.
That was your own fault.
Yeah, I guess. But that can't happen. But again, this game is so quick. You just run another game.
That's true. Yes.
So it's definitely a downside. It can be frustrating. It's a quick game, so
I agree with you.
The lasting impact doesn't last.
I did think of one thing while you were talking that I don't know that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing that Restoration added was the abilities, and some of them are super fun.
Yeah,
like being able to manipulate the order in which you move, the color cars can be changed. Stuff like that. Really cool.
Yeah.
But there are some that are very underwhelming. I love asymmetrical abilities where everyone has their own thing they've got going on, but you gotta make it to where everyone feels like they're doing something cool. And some of the abilities to me, especially the ones in the base box, I'm kind of like, it's okay.
As somebody who's played the game more,
yep,
I don't fully agree with that statement.
Interesting.
Especially when you get into high player count, some of the ability cards get even better. And so in a two-player game, the game's very different in a way. I think it's two different games between two-player and beyond that. With the abilities, though, some of them are really good at 6 and 5, especially the one where if your card doesn't move on your turn, you're like, oh, that's so dumb. Like, why would I play a card that doesn't have my color on it? But when you're playing in a large player game and you're behind and you only want to move a couple spaces and move somebody out of the way, it's amazing.
No, I completely agree. And I'm not saying the ability by itself is dumb.
Sure.
But
they're not equal.
I think you would agree they are not equal at all player counts.
They are not equal at all player counts. There are some that are better with less and some that are better with more. Yes.
And the ones that are better at less will be worse at more.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When you have a game, whether it's with 2, 6 or anything in between,
yeah,
you want everybody at the table to feel like they have an even chance.
Sure.
Especially when you already have the aspect of luck because of the cards being distributed randomly.
Correct. Yeah. No, you know, that's definitely part of it. If you get, as far as base game, there's 6 abilities.
Right.
And 6 colors. And so there's not very much variety. You shuffle those up and it changes every game. There are currently 2 expansions. One of them adds 6 new abilities and a new map, which is double-sided, and it's 2 different.
The new maps are awesome.
The maps change the game. I played 100 games on the base, and then I got the expansion, and only one of them. I don't have the second one, but that one looks great too. It doesn't add as many abilities, which is why I really like the first expansion, because it added 6 new abilities. And so what I do is I shuffle those up and deal 2 to each car. And so you always have a choice of getting in that circumstance. Usually you get good options as far as what game you're playing, with how many people and how it plays. You have an option of picking a good ability or an average ability, mm-hmm. or depending, you know, and a lot of them are specific to how the game plays out too. Cause sometimes you're like, well, I was never behind anybody for this one or whatever. And so it does change they're not always balanced as far as the abilities, but if you get the expansion, you get those double cards so you can shuffle up and kind of mitigate that part of it of being, oh, I didn't want this color and this is the only ability that I could have got. So,
and the other expansion is something I want you to get because it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So in the second expansion, which we haven't played, it adds ramps, which, by the way, they come as 3D ramps.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And they also add wild animals to the track.
There's a giraffe. Watch out.
This is so good. I love this idea of adding more obstacles to the track and ways to like bounce around and that sort of thing.
And the animals like get in your way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it would be interesting to play that. It's been on the list to get, so I'll probably get it at some point. But
sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about expansions. Let's talk about player count.
Mm-hmm.
So this game can be played from 2 to 6.
Yeah. Very wide number.
this is where I want to insert that last thing that I really enjoy.
Okay.
Whether you're playing at 2 and 3, or if you're playing 4, 5, 6, I feel like this game has two completely separate games in it.
Yeah.
And I think the split is really more 3 to 6 versus 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two very different games in here.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing at 2-player, you're playing a completely like different strategy.
Yeah. And you've played more 2-player games than I think I have, because I don't play this game 2-player very often. Yeah. And so we get into it and you're just like, just mopping the floor with me. And I'm like, I don't know how to play 2-player.
2-player made sense. Like I was like, oh, this is how you do this.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I have too many cards.
Just spend money. Get all the cards and then you'll be fine.
Spend it.
Just buy it.
Just buy it.
But no, so the 2-player game is one thing. And if you want more of feeling like you are in control of the race, mm-hmm. I think 2-player is going to speak to you more.
For sure.
But I also like it at the higher player counts because it's very easy to incorporate extra people, and we're always looking for ways to find games that incorporate more than 4 players.
Yeah. 6 is a great number. It just anything 5 to 6 player for me, that's most of my game nights, is going to be around that number. And if I can have a game that fits 6, it's just...
And it's fun for everybody.
And it's not too many for that game. There are plenty of games that play up to 6.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I ain't playing Terraforming Mars with 5. Like, that's just too many for me. That's a long game.
Never
There's
again.
Just games that don't...
I did that once. Yeah. Never again.
There's games that should not be played, even though their player count says so. This one is not. It is the same. Honestly, it's the same time. I noticed it says 30 to 45 minutes. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
It fits right in that. No matter what player count you are, you can play it even faster with 2-player, I think. But there's a lot more decision making with 2 players.
So do you have a favorite count?
I like it with higher player counts. I like the chaos.
There is a bit of chaos at the higher counts because there's so much less control.
I think between 4 and 6, I think it works really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like 5 and 6 to me are just, it's really interesting because everybody, so if you play with 6, everybody gets a car. If you play with 5, one person might have 2 cars, or they're just, that one might fall off. One thing that can happen in the auctioning is that if somebody doesn't put a bet down at all, that car will go to no one. And let's say you come back later and still that there's some one person that doesn't have a car, they're gifted that car.
Right.
So everybody always ends up with a car. But so anyway, in a 5 to 6, like everybody gets a car. You're just managing that one car. And it feels, there is a lot of like board manipulation on your turn. Cause you like 5 other people just went, you moved your car and you put it somewhere and you're like, oh great, I'm in the lead. This is great.
And then
5 other people go and you're like, well, I'm in last now. That's cool. So it, or you're like, oh, I was in last, now I'm in 4th. Like, this is good.
Or you had a plan, and you're like, oh, this is going to happen, and then it just goes
completely changed.
Yep.
And to me, again, this game is lighter. It's so funny when you pull that 8 out, though, and you're like, all these players just left, just the way it worked out, left me literally zigzag all the way to the choke point.
And you
point.
Can bob and weave because you can go diagonal.
Yes, you can go diagonal. And so... No, one of the better gaming experiences that I've had of this game are just that timing of that in a large player game, because you do have, it is the timing. You have to wait for the perfect time to play those high cards, and then you zoom through everybody. It is a great feeling. It really is. And it happens more definitely in the higher player counts because you're trying to get through everybody. You're trying to get everybody else is a different car. And so I particularly like it at higher player counts. I think it's great. I think it works well in all counts. I'll play this game no matter what.
I think for me, I really enjoy it more at the 2 and 3 player count. It feels more like a game to me at that point. I mean, not to discredit the higher counts, because I also can have fun with that as well.
Yeah.
For me, the thing that takes away the higher player counts is there's a similar game that we play called Camel Up.
Mm-hmm.
Similar style where you're betting on camels racing around a board.
Yeah.
And Camel Up has more of a silly tone. There's other wonky stuff that can happen in the race that make it kind of embrace the chaos a little better. So if I'm at those higher counts, I'd rather play Camel Up.
Mm-hmm.
But at that 2 or 3 player count, I was really digging the different options that this game offers.
Yeah.
I would happily play it at 2 or 3. I mean, I'd play this at any count.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose, I would want to do it at 2 or 3 for sure.
There are plenty of racing games. I think as far as a racing betting game and the ease of access to this game, I think works really, really well with families and family game nights. I think it fits really well. And again, it's sold at Target and Walmart and all these other stores. So, and that's their target audience.
Sure.
And I that's good. So it works really, really, really well. It really does. They knocked it out of the park on who they're trying to sell it to, on who's meant to play it. And, but it also hits gamers. For me, I can play it with anyone. I can play it with somebody like you that is more a diehard gamer, and we can have some fun with it and kind of get a little bit more tactical than, you know, some of the other people I would play with.
Right.
But even funny thing is I'm more tactical and really think through my turns, and we'll play with a group of six people and I'll lose.
Yep.
And so any, you know, there is a lot, there's a good amount of luck in this game as far as the cards are dealt and also how just everybody else plays it. And so you can't play it perfectly every time. I feel like I'm pretty good at this game though. I do win some of the time, but again, there's variabilities.
Yep.
And teaming up against, at this point, people just don't want me to win.
You've made an enemy of everybody. But it sounds to me like you are moving into grading and final thoughts. So just go ahead with your finishing up there, man.
Yeah. I'm going to give this game an 8.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I had on BGG.
Okay.
And it sticks. I think it is absolutely perfect. There's a couple family games that I have on my shelf, and this is the one that I grab. This and Wingspan for me are always close, and obviously like this fits the six, so
yeah.
It's just one of the ones I grab every time. There are a couple others that are on the short list for that first family game nights, but this is the one that I grab because it's so easy. Even if you're not like a gamer, you're like, here's a hand of cards, just get your guy to the finish line.
So yeah.
It's, you know, it's not super heavy. You can kind of get into it though. You can get real tactical about it, but in general, you can just throw some cards and race and bet and see who wins. And so I compare it to, it doesn't compare as far as the betting and stuff. Well, I mean, I guess it can, but I don't bet. So it truly does feel like, and I know you're not racing in this game, but it really does feel like you're racing, like in a game, and you're racing a couple cars on a track and in a Formula One. It really feels like you're watching it transpire. People are moving, like the lead changes so quickly, in and out, in and out. People, for me, even at the end of the race, when everybody crosses the finish line, you look at the numbers, you look at the money, like that's cool. But while the race is going on, this truly does like feel like I'm participating in a race and betting on a race. And it feels exactly how the theme is to me. And every time I play, I'm like, man, when can I play that eight card to get in the lead and sneak ahead? I mean, if you look at any type of racing in real life, it is strategic in that of when you take your shot, when you take that move ahead. And so that's what it feels like when you're playing this game. Like, it's very simple though, and it does well, and it does have some decision making that I truly enjoy and everybody can enjoy, and no matter really who you are to me. And yeah, it is not 14 plus.
No, not even close.
No, I've played with people younger than that. People can figure this game out. Kids can play this game. It works really well. It really does.
Sure. Yeah, I really struggle with what to give this score because I don't have a lot of complaints about it. I think it does exactly what it wants to do, and I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I mean, you have had the liberty of playing way more than I have, and you haven't gotten tired of it, which is great.
No, I still play it.
I do wonder for me if it would get to feel a little samey after a while, which, I mean, when it is a less complex game, I am more likely to feel that way as someone who dives into the really heavy stuff too.
Sure.
But I think a solid 7.5 for me is like the lowest I would ever give this game.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I would never complain about playing it unless it like hit the table every night.
Yeah.
7.5 feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Feels like a good spot for where it is. I think I don't really know what to compare it to. It's this is not a perfect analogy, but
are any of ours?
No.
Yeah.
So it's kind of whatever. It's par for the course, I suppose. To me, what comes to mind is a good game of Foursquare. I don't know if you played Foursquare as a kid.
I love Foursquare.
Foursquare is great. And it's never like the best game. And sometimes one person gets picked on. But you got to know when to call your shot to go for that king square.
Yeah.
And to when to make your move. But the game gets over quick. You get out. You just hop out. Get back in line. And then you'll be back in before you know it.
Boom.
And it's just, you just keep going. So yep. To me, it's like a good game of Foursquare.
I like it. No, that's a good analogy. I think, yeah, it does have a very interesting analogy because, yes, you got to know when you got to make your move.
Yep.
You got to make your move. And then if you miss, oh, well, like the game's over in 30 minutes anyway. So you tried. Like you made your move.
You went for it.
Yeah, you went for it.
Which is great.
And that's all you can ask.
Yeah.
No, I think, the theme is perfect. They hit what they wanted this game to do.
Absolutely.
And so you can't, like, I mean, it's hard to say anything bad about a game that did what it wanted to do. Like, this is what it wanted to do.
Well, and you referenced the other one earlier. It feels not, the games do not feel similar. But Wingspan had a similar vibe, right, when we were reviewing it.
Yeah.
I can't complain about this game because it does everything it wants to do.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah.
And I
wouldn't play it every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
those things can coexist at the same time.
Absolutely. It does what it wants to do. And I'm really proud of a game that does that.
Yeah. And it has a place on a shelf. It fits. Yeah. It has a place on my shelf. And give it a try if you haven't. I think it has a place for sure. I really think it does.
And I will say, with my 7.5, even with Camel Up already on the shelf, I would consider getting this as a game that Faith and maybe Joy would eventually want to play.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not against that idea.
There are so many racing games and I feel like they're all really good. Like
they're all different.
Yeah. They all do
their own thing.
Yeah. They all do their own thing and they all, exactly. They all have a place because they just do it differently or it's a different target audience and it's different strategy. It's just the way it plays is different. So I think they knocked it out of the park for what they wanted this to be, except for it says 14 plus. So no, that was a miss.
Maybe that was a typo.
The one thing we don't like about this game is that it's 14 plus.
Oh, well, you also don't have to be 14 plus to listen to our show.
That's right.
And we really appreciate you listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. We have links to our socials in the description. Someday Jared will have a Discord up whenever he stops working so hard in real life.
That's right.
And then you can talk to us in real time about all your thoughts.
In the meantime, you can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Board Game Geek, everywhere. Follow us everywhere. And we do most of our posts on Instagram, but you can follow us anywhere and get updated on that. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian's done a great job with the socials, and we've set up a link tree. Is that right?
Yeah, you can follow it all.
We'll start adding that to the description so they can just find it all right there.
Yep, you get all of it. All the links.
We appreciate that. We do appreciate if you could give us 5-star review on Facebook, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. We would appreciate those reviews. Please follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to our podcast. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing the podcast. So many thanks to all of you. Also, special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Gentlemen, start your actions!
And ladies, too.
Right. Don't forget the ladies.